episode 30 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy, and I'm joined by Tyler Baker and Amato Yoshi, Joe Amato. And this week, we're getting our asses to Mars. We're going to be talking about Total Recall, which is a film that is sort of wedged between when you look at this director's body of work. You had RoboCop, you have Total Recall, which we're going to talk about for the next hour and a half. And then he followed that up with Basic Instinct.
Yeah.
Along with that, we're kind of looking at like the peak, I would say, of Arnold's career. This is Tyler's favorite actor. He's not currently in his usual space where he's got that wall of Arnold posters. But this is, without a doubt, an interesting film. If you've never seen it before, you're in for a ride. There's a lot of twists and turns, and we're going to get into all that. But I know Tyler wishes that he could go to Recall.
Yeah. Yeah, especially after this past Friday. I would love to have my mind, you know, butchered, you know, by those brain butchers at Recall. So I'm thinking I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, and then there's going to be fanboys trying to stop me from saying that Infinity War sucked. And I'll have to, like, chop this guy's nose off and then shoot that guy. And Sharon Stone's going to claim that she was been asleep with me, so I won't say anything bad about Infinity War. And then Michael Irons has been trying to shut me up because of Go Hagen, you know, which would be like the Disney reps. And Kevin Bacon's like, he knows too much. He's saying the truth. We got to get him out of here.
But if Sharon Stone was sleeping with you, would you change your mind about Infinity War?
For that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured he would.
Yeah, as long as I could keep doing it. If I could continue to keep sleeping with Sharon Stone, hell, I'd sit there and say, oh my God, man, Chris Pratt was the best thing about that movie. Just for the privilege of sleeping with 90 Sharon Stone.
I mean, would you rub your nipples while you're telling her that?
Oh, I would too. And I could sit and say she could tie me up too.
If you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about. I really don't know where to go from there. Joe, what is your experience with the film? Was this something that you saw in theaters when it was released? You saw it after the fact?
No, I like seeing all of Arnold's movies in the theaters. So, no, I remember seeing it in the theater. And then anytime it would come on TV, I remember renting it, but I loved it when it was on TV. Still, if it pops up on TV, like I said, I have it on DVD. I have the old VHS of it. But if it's to pop up on TV with all the edits and all the crap, I still watch it. You know, it's just one of those kind of movies. You know, yeah. Some of those movies don't matter if you even own it. You're still going to watch it on TV. But now this was, I mean, it's a perfect movie for me because I always like the, you know, the escape from reality stuff, you know, especially when you think of, you know, like Masters of the Universe, Eternia, and a lot of other fantasy cartoon stories, comics, whatever. But that's what was intriguing about this to me is this was a movie to where, wow, you could really go to Mars? Well, how cool would that be? And then they go to this place called Recall. And at Recall, they can put, you know, a memory into you to think you went to any planet and vacations and you're a spy or a secret agent, whatever it is. And that was just so cool to me. The thought of, I would love to have something like that. And then, you know, just the whole thing of course, which we'll be getting into, but, you know, when they go to Mars and everything that, you know, has to be accomplished and you find out what the real, you know, goal is, the end goal, you know, it just had you hanging on your seat, the edge of your seat, waiting, is it going to happen? Will they do this? And it just had a lot. I mean, it had nudity, had a three-breasted woman. Who could go wrong with that? I mean, three breasts, three tits? It's like, well, this is fantastic. So, no, love damn Total Recall. But no, my first experience, yeah, theater, and then any chance I could see it. If it ever comes on, I was watching it.
Now, Tyler, was this an Arnold movie that you also had an opportunity to watch in theater, or was this something that you caught on video?
No, it was video, and it was when it came to video too, all I knew it was a giant hit because it was a big hit for Arnold and for Paul Verhoeven. It was just a very accepted film when it came out. I mean, they had posters that you could buy, like 24 by 36 posters of Arnold from the film as merchandising with video games and stuff like that too. But I saw it when it came out on video, and I think my mom and dad had borrowed a copy from my pawpaw, and I freaked out within the first 5 minutes when Arnold and Rachel's or Melina, excuse me, I'm calling her by her real name, when their astronaut masks crack on Mars and his face essentially blows up. I freaked out, went and hid behind my mom's chair because I just had never seen that before. And I like, oh my God. And I don't think we watched too much more after that because I didn't like scream and yell. It was just like, I just didn't know how to react to that. So it would be a few more years later because I was really into, you know, Predator, Red Sonja, big time back then around that age. That was my really in Twins. Those were like the three Arnold films I was frequenting a lot, and Total Recall just kind of blew my mind up, no pun intended. And it took me a while to kind of really, because science fiction has never really been, as a kid other than Star Wars, something I was really into. So I would watch it, but just couldn't get into it as much. And as a young adult, I really got into it. I'm like, okay, I get it now. I get why this was such a giant hit when it came out. Because by that point, I loved RoboCop, Paul Verhoeven's work, Starship Troopers, Basic Instinct. And
especially Showgirls, right?
Yeah, it's Showgirls is just like the girl in gold boots with a budget behind it and Paul Verhoeven. That's how I look at Showgirls. Yeah, it's trash, but it's fun trash. It's not unwatchable. But I Total Recall, it's a great film, and it was looking back, it was really cool for Arnold to kind of step outside the comfort zone and do something that's, it's got action and heavy doses of violence, which Arnold and Verhoeven should have been working together a long time, multiple times. But it was really cool. You know, I think ballsy for Arnold to step out and do something that's not necessarily, just straight, big guns. Of course, that's in the film, but it's outside the box. It's science fiction. It's not your traditional Arnold film, and it still holds up. And I said, I was so pissed off when they said they were going to remake it with the typical remake guy. If you're going to remake something, you throw Colin Farrell into the mix.
I kind of wouldn't mind like going and watching the remake, honestly, now, because I haven't seen the remake at all. I would like to watch it just sort of to, I don't even really want to say compare, because you can't really compare to what Paul Verhoeven does, and I imagine that the remake's just this slick, like overproduced piece of garbage. But
well, it's how it looked. Just like with RoboCop, the remake of that, nobody asked for them, nobody wanted them, and they both were PG-13 pieces of shit. Nobody remembers those films other than they try to remake movies that had no business being remade. And I don't want to see him. I don't want to see Colin Farrell. I don't want to see the no-name actor who played RoboCop.
Well, I would just do it out of just pure curiosity now, especially after revisiting the original. I just want to see how bad it is, I guess, because I don't mind watching bad films, and it's especially great watching bad movies with you, and you get really angry about it. Yeah. I love that part. I love how angry
it gets. Let me ask you guys, has it always been my persona, because I almost feel like it's been more of a recent thing where I feel like I just hate so much more, whereas I felt like Nathan was always such an aggressor because of how bad wrestling was, whereas I was always supporting it for a lot of times. Joe has always been pretty supportive, but I almost feel like there hasn't been a whole lot. Joe has come out and said, no, I hate it. It sucked.
Definitely getting grumpier. You used to be way more optimistic when we first started hanging out. Yeah. Now, when a movie would suck, when Tyler and I would go to the movies and he didn't like something, he would immediately be pretty vocal about it. And then there were times where he would kind of think that I was liking a movie as we were watching it, and he would just kind of be quiet about it afterwards and not really say anything or wait for me to give the go ahead and be like, man, that movie sucked. But it used to like break Tyler sometimes. Like we would go and see a movie, he would be really excited about it, and then it'd be terrible, and it was almost like his weekend was just ruined.
Yeah,
I imagine you probably got a little bit of that this weekend with Infinity War.
Not so much, because I it didn't. Of course, I had other fun things, like going to the comic show yesterday, and having Jimmy Valiant, sucker me out of $10, things like that. So no, it didn't ruin my weekend, but it was just, you just kind of felt like I've got to stop going to Marvel movies now because of this. I got to stop doing it. It's like they're going to continue to go down that road, and they're going to make Spider-Man unlikable. They're going to make Black Panther 2 probably unwatchable, because it's about making these guys stand-up comedians, and we're going to have Tom Holland and the rest of the crew, or they're going to be, doing stand-up tours and telling jokes in their outfits, and Chris Pratt be doing his one-man show of talking to himself, like Andrew Dice Clay or something like that. And people are like, oh, man, this is great, man. Disney, you can't do anything wrong. So I really need to stop going to these movies, period.
I mean, probably because you've started to, because it happened with Spider-Man. It happened with Thor. You didn't really give much of an opinion on Black Panther. I think you said it was fine.
It was fine, but it just, the second half was better. It just didn't leave an impression I was hoping it would. I felt like it was definitely a product of the silly Marvel as opposed to what we saw in Civil War, where Black Panther was portrayed as a very kind of a cold-minded like character, where he was very focused. And then when you see him in his own movie, the death of his father is just kind of like a fart in the wind. Like there's no impact of like his father was killed, which seems, I mean, absolutely devastating in Civil War, but it's like, oh yeah, your dad's dead. Let's long live the king. Let's keep going here. Your jokes. Middle fingers all around in the fight. You know,
I guess we'll pass it to Joe in regards
we are really getting sidetracked from talking.
Well, I was going to pass it to Joe because you asked him about it. Joe, have you noticed, because you and Tyler have been doing Fans of Power now for what, over 2 years? Have you started to notice like a change in him in regards to his opinions on things?
First, let me say hello to Jake Juggalo, Iceman Traveler, and Tamara Shipper in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. When we kind of first started, both of us, we both like had a certain way to where it was like maybe, not saying optimistic, but just, you know, talking about whether it was a comic, cartoon, whatever, this, that, whatever. And then we started doing our little back and forth. You know, to where I give him shit, and give him shit. Oh, Joe, God, I thought you were going to deliver the most epic thing in the world, and it fell flat. This is what you gave us? Joe, I give you a thumbs down for that. Or, you know, like, it's kind of like a thing. So it seemed like, you know, and that's the thing. It would seem like, okay, then maybe he's starting to get a little more hostile at times. No, it's just, in a way, it's like how we said breaking kayfabe or whatever. It's kind of characters we did. So we feed off of it. He might have fed a little more off of the, you know, give Joe shit, you know, do his thing. I might do a little more of the, you know, trying to piss him off or edge him with goofy little things that I know will set him off. So, no, it's not like he's angry. But, yeah, I'm sure it sounds like I'm beyond retro. Maybe it does sound like a little more because we're not just talking masters. We're talking everything. And Tyler has, see, for me, I don't have tons of, like, knowledge of lots and lots of movies. Like, main passions would be Masters of the Universe, Friday the 13th. So if there's something like a movie that's going to be made and I think it's garbage or something they're showing, yes, that's times I speak up. If something for Friday the 13th pissed me off, yes. But you usually don't hear Joe speaking up much of other things because I don't have that vast kind of knowledge base that you and especially Tyler has. Like, Tyler knows more of the Marvel Universe. I know it. I know characters. But I haven't read as much as he has. I haven't watched all the cartoons from the 90s as he has and as you have. So when he's expecting something and it pisses him off, I can see that. So he has, I guess, more things to be pissed off at because he has more of a knowledge of it, if that makes sense. So it's not like he's pissed off, angry all the time. He's passionate, just like I'd get passionate about Masters and Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's just funny that our viewers have started to catch on. It's like, oh, there he goes again. Tyler's just being grumpy. He doesn't like anything.
But I often feel like the people miss the point. Is like, I don't want to dislike this stuff. I really don't. I mean, for example, like when Ghost Rider came out, me and Nathan told each other, you know, let's just go ahead and go see it anyway. We both expected it to be horse shit. And it was, and then some. But we still went, maybe it won't be. Kind of. You know, or like when Batman Begins, I didn't want to walk out of the theater and admit that I hated Christian Bale's voice. Like, we were so thankful that Batman films were back. But I didn't want to tell Nathan and my brother, I'm like, I didn't like his voice, man. It kind of killed a lot of the momentum for me.
But I hated it.
Like, you were going to be alienated if you admitted that. At least that was in my eyes, and I think it later on came out that my brother kind of felt the same way. Nathan did too.
And many people didn't like his voice at all.
Yeah, and it's kind of become, you know, the common thing now. It's not so much just a joke. It's like, no, your voice sucked, man. You were a terrible Batman. Awful. You looked cool in the suit, but that's really about it. When you talked, it was game over. So I don't like to dislike this stuff, and it's not necessarily saying it has to be just like the comic books. But, you know, as many changes as they did in the first Superman film and the first Batman film, I hold them in the highest of regard. because the characters didn't make you feel like they're being made fun of, or that the situations were something we could still kind of nudge the audience to say, it's kind of fun, isn't it, though? Kind of silly and goofy. Don't you get the joke? Wink, wink. You know, they were still taking the property seriously. Blade was another prime example. You know, I didn't know a whole lot about, other than, you know, I knew what Blade was and everything, but the movie was a blast. And I didn't have to know the full back catalog of Blade comic books, other than a few specifics, to enjoy the movie. It was the sequels that decided we're going to make it sillier and goofier and not take it so seriously and make mistakes. That's what I got a problem with. You know, even as an adult now, when I watch Batman 89 and realize all the mistakes that were made with the character, like Batman killing, I'm like, you know what? I don't give a damn if Batman decides to take out a goon here and there, or that, you know, Vicki Vale's letting the Batcave do to Alfred. At least in Batman Returns, Michael Keaton gives Alfred shit for it. Like, oh, they aren't working. Oh, hey, Vic, come on in. Like, they're making fun of that because that was a decision that was made by Tim Burton and I forgot his producer, the goofy producer that Kevin Smith makes fun of all the time, Peter Gruber. Or no, John Peter, excuse me. But anyway, but it's that doesn't take away from how serious they kept the film, with minor bits of humor that were funny. Okay, let's move on here and keep it with the serious movie. These Marvel movies, it's about making kids laugh at it, you know, silly jokes, and making the guys laugh at ball jokes, and making the girls laugh at Chris Hemsworth being a dumbass because he's the big buff blonde guy. We got to make him look like a moron. You know, it ain't about telling a good action stories that give you goosebumps and make you want to come out of the theater and like, man, yeah, I want to go read some Thor comics now, or, you know, I want to learn more about Black Widow. No, it's comedy fest. It's comedy.
Oh, no, you're supposed to say yuck fest, man. That's your trademark.
Yeah, it is. It's nothing but yuck fest. And I'm like, I don't mind bits of humor here and there, but God, I mean, it's just, damn it, man, stop it. Stop with the humor. It ain't funny.
Can we just bring this up every week so Tyler can just do this? I love it.
I don't know. That's why, you know, I don't want to dislike. I really don't. And look, way before Infinity War came out, I told myself, I don't know if I'll get around to seeing it. I just kind of felt burnt out like Nathan was. Like, I kind of feel like we're just getting a lot of the same stuff over and over again. But then as the movie got closer, got a little bit more excited about it. I'm like, okay, well, I know there's going to be humor in it. Maybe it won't be so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it all just feels the same now. Like when they first started with it, you know, each movie sort of felt different. Now it's just all the beats are there. It just all seems the same to me. That's why I got burnt out on it. Like, it's just, it's too much. They come out too often. Like, there for a while, it's like, you know, you're getting two or three of these things a year. And it just, I got burnt out on it. And it, for me, it wasn't because of the humor and what they were doing. It just, I would watch them. I'm just like, okay, yeah, they exist. It was fine. I don't know.
Side note, I was watching Batman just before we started the podcast. I was on AMC, so just got done watching that.
See, now when you watch that, and the movie is really being celebrated now, that people, I think people are even more now are supporting Michael Keaton's portrayal of Batman. Like, I mean, even more so. Like, I just kind of feel like it's really kind of coming full circle. People are like, you know what, that was the definitive Batman. You know, people may say they like Christian Bale's Batman, or I like Heath Ledger's Joker, but I still like Michael. I was like, yes, but Michael Keaton, those two Burton films, you may say it wasn't extremely true to the character, but, you know, people stop bitching about all the killing and stuff like that. I mean, villains die in most of these movies anymore anyway. I mean, not the current Marvel movies, because, you know, they ain't get the balls to pull the trigger, but I kind of felt like they got it right. It's not strictly nostalgia. I'm like, they got a Batman movie right. You know, it wasn't made fun of, which is what everyone thought it was going to be. Everyone in the 80s, when Michael Keaton was cast, and of course I was too young to remember that, but they were all thinking it was going to be a comedy and silly, and it's not what it was. You know, and I don't feel like they took it too far in a direction that was too dark for kids. I mean, hell, all three of us grew up on that film, loved it. Didn't think that it was out of our reach. Well, I mean, both my parents loved the film, praised the hell out of it, bought it for me when it came out on VHS. They couldn't wait to sit down and watch it with me, you know?
It definitely made wearing a Batman hat and T-shirt and logos cool. Yes. Not just kids, but I remember adults, including my dad. He still has his original Batman hat. It's like, it was just the coolest damn symbol. Everybody loved the damn movie. They're praising it. So, Yeah, I think people could see that and enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah, I just said they could still make superhero movies like that, and they still be just as enjoyable, just as marketable. Kids would still like it. Adults could appreciate it, and you're not sitting around waiting for the next knee slapper, you know. As you know, and making you know everyone just look like they're just kind of slipping on banana peels as we get to the big epic climax. That's just kind of is more jokes and stuff like that. So.
All right. Well, now that we had our – that's fine. We had our half-hour side rant. Now back to – what the hell was he talking about? No, but now back to Total Recall. Well, I think Tyler gave his opinion about how he, you know, how he first experienced it. I did with the theaters, but I didn't even know. Nathan, did you say you did see it in the theater as well or no?
No, I didn't catch it until video, and that was actually, like, well after the fact. Like, because this came out in 90, you know, so yeah. – This may have been, I want to say probably I would have watched it between the time it came. I would say like 91, 92. I'm sure my dad rented it. I can't remember a specific vivid memory of it, but I can pretty sure like I watched it around that time. I don't remember much of it then. It wasn't until like I got older and rewatched it. And then, you know, meeting Tyler too, like when we started buying movies all the time. We go out every weekend and buy just handfuls of DVDs. And that's when I picked up a copy of it because I hadn't owned it yet. And Tyler was like, well, you don't own Total Recall yet? And I was like, no. And then I think I found it for like, I don't know, $10. It may have been a little more expensive than that. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But I remember Tyler and I kind of talking about Arnold's filmography. And I guess I wanted to ask him too, because I don't know if he's rewatched it lately in preparation for the show today, but I seem to remember, and I could be wrong, that years ago when it came to Arnold's movies, you didn't hold Recall in the upper tier. You kind of put it a little lower on your list. Is that, am I wrong about that? Or is
it's
that
not,
something?
It's not my top five, but it's a film that it's a masterpiece of a film. But when I watch Arnold films, it's Predator, Conan, Kindergarten Cop, Eraser, True Lies, both Conan films, Red Sonja, Red Heat, Twins. I mean, yeah, it's but I would probably put Total Recall in the top 10, but it would probably be at the bottom of the top 10 just because when I watch Arnold, I want to watch Arnold do what he does best, you know, be the epitome of what, as a child, you look at Arnold Stallone, like, that's what a real man looks like. And that's what I always aspire to want to be like. And that's what I could get behind as a kid. So that's what I would always want to see. And I get older and I appreciate it even more. So it's not that I'm downplaying Total Recall as a film. It's just in Arnold's body of work, I always have so much more fun watching Predator, the Conan films, and a lot of the others that I mentioned, but it's a damn great movie. And I just appreciate it as I got older because, I mean, as a kid, it confused the hell out of me too when I would try to watch it because it was so all over the place. And as an adult, I have a, you know, much better understanding of the entire film. And that's part of the fun about this film, as I'm sure we'll get into, is trying to pinpoint where does the dream start? Is the whole thing a dream? Is the entire movie itself? Are we watching the dream? You know, it's one of those things. It's like watching Alien or The Thing, where you could sit and the movie doesn't give you explanations. They give you hints of it, and they keep going.
Yeah,
leaves it up to the audience to have fun trying to decide for yourself. Are you watch at what point in the film are we watching the implant? Is the whole movie itself? Because the movie gives it to you. It's not like watching that piece of shit Prometheus where they're trying to be all like, we're giving you answers, but really not, because it's not an Alien prequel, but it kind of is. You can go to hell, Ridley Scott. And this movie is just having fun and lets you decide for yourself without veering off too far off this way, but immediately jump back over to here and just like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, well, that's what I like about it. Like, it definitely makes you think. It keeps your mind engaged. It keeps you going the whole time, and they don't waste any of the runtime either. Like, as soon as it starts, you're jumping right into it. You know, you got this dream sequence, and then, oh, we're going into this, and then you're learning a little bit, but not all of it yet. And then, you know, the twists are happening and you're like, well, wait. And there's even that one part in the movie where they're trying to convince him that he's dreaming right there then and there. And he like doesn't buy into it. So it's
in the movie too. I love that scene.
Yeah, it, like, it's just, it's a mind bender, but it just keeps you thinking the whole time, and you know, you don't really get that in a lot of movies. And I was sitting there watching it too, and I'm just like, you know, because you got the green screen effects with the Mars stuff. Like, obviously, you know, you can pinpoint that. But all, like, the other practical effects you were talking earlier about, like, how their faces would swell and everything. Like, all that was just so well done. And yeah, every time that I watch all of these movies, I'm sitting there like, man, I really, really miss that craft that they took time to think about it. And this is how we need to do this. And then it's like, oh, you can just throw it in a computer now. I miss it so much.
Yeah, and that's what we've mentioned so many times on other podcasts, where I said I appreciate those, like you said, practical effects. They looked so real. They didn't need to do so many computer special effects to where you could just tell, oh, that's a computer. And the thinking, sometimes it makes things more realistic, but in a sense, it doesn't. The stuff that they did in Total Recall, I mean, that part where every time it happens, like, you know, when him and Melina are out there, you know, and you see the eyes, like, bulging and everything, it's like, oh my God, as a kid, it freaked me the hell out. And you know what? It still does. It's disturbing to look at. Could you imagine your eyes popping almost out of sockets? You're like, Jesus Christ, is he going to fucking blow up? I mean, you don't like looking at that. So, but it does. It captures you. It captures your attention. I mean, there's so many other parts. I mean, the part where, like, you know, even Benny, you know, when he shows that he's, yeah, you know, like one of them, and he shows that arm, and it looks so damn.
Really capturing Benny's movements there with the, you know, yeah, doing this here too. Yeah,
it did. It looks, that's another one. I just, you need, I mean, yeah, I love that. I mean, but damn, the movie. See, that's the thing. I'm a big sucker for closure and finality, and to know the big roller coaster of a ride that we sat through with that movie, hoping that at the end, you know, they would be able to give air to Mars. In my mind, I want to say that, you know, it was real, because you're right. A lot of times people say, okay, well, was the whole thing, you know, like you said, was it a dream? Was it an implant? And then I thought some people told me, oh, well, the person, you know, people made the movie did say, and it was supposed to be like all a dream or something. It's like, you know, I don't know if that's true, but if it is, don't tell me. I don't like hearing that shit, because I always hated the things, like, there's been sometimes, whether it's in a TV show, whatever, maybe cartoon, where you find out something was a whole, you know, dream sequence. And I was like, damn it, I just put and invested all this time in hopes of having this great ending, and then they twist it and say, oh, nope, it really wasn't real. You know, it would piss me off if that would have been the case. Now, again, like you said, it's open to everybody's imagination and interpretation of was it a dream or an implant or real, but I wanted to feel like, hey, Arnold went through a lot of shit. I mean, there was a lot of action. He did a lot of stuff in that. To think he went through all that and it wasn't real, it would piss me off. So in my mind, I always want to say, no, they gave air to Mars. They, you know, now this world can be inhabitable and isn't under the control of, you know, like you said, Cohagen or whoever, and anybody else. They have air and they can live. And I like that. I like knowing there's a finality to something.
And that's what I liked about it too. You know, it's like the villain of this film, like his whole purpose is he's just monopolized this. He's monopolized having air on Mars. So it's like, you have to basically pay to breathe and not die. And it's just, I don't know. It's you got the little bits of satire in there too, with like the little video things Verhoeven's always had in like RoboCop and Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
So it's those nice little touches. And man, like Michael Ironside,
he's awesome in everything.
Yeah. Like, I don't, has he ever had a bad role? I'm sure he's been in terrible movies, but was he always like the worst part? I don't think he ever has been.
No, I mean, I always think of like this in Darkseid, because he would play the voice of Darkseid on Superman and the Justice League cartoons. God, he owns Darkseid. You know, it's just, he's just awesome. He's got such, and I'm sure, like, well, most great actors who play great villains are some of the sweetest guys you hear about. You know, and just it's cool that, you know, he obviously worked so well with Verhoeven that he shows up in Starship Troopers too, playing Johnny Rico's teacher and joining up back in the army, so to speak. The name of the official name title of that, but he was such a great villain in it too. And I remember when I, as a kid, or when I would try to rewatch him, like, oh man, look at him, like kissing all over Sharon Stone. Get the hell off of her. You know, I was so like put off by that. I'm like, no, stop it. You know, because I didn't want to buy Sharon Stone. So Nathan texted me last night, like, God, Sharon Stone was really hot. And it's like, damn right she was. Arguably hotter than Basic Instinct.
Which I would say that she was hotter than Basic Instinct. Easily.
Yeah, I probably would too. Not that what she does in Basic Instincts is it's unmatched, but how she looks in Total Recall with her business suit, flowing blonde hair and tan skin, and then when you see at the beginning with, you know, in her little nightie, and Arnold's like, man, Arnold has had so much fun with the women in his career, man. God, man, he's so lucky. But he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's earned that right.
But it's also got him in a lot of trouble, personally.
It has, but, you know, I'm saying, hey, I'm sure he still enjoyed the ride regardless. You know,
pun
like,
intended.
I don't support cheating on your wife, but it's like, did you ever mess around with that behind the scenes, you know, something like that. But yeah, Ironside was great as event. And Ronnie Cox too, bringing him from RoboCop. You know, that's one thing I like about Verhoeven's films is that he a lot of times will use a lot of the same actors in smaller bits. It's kind of like great role players on a basketball team. You always know you can depend on them, and they will deliver the goods when you needed them to. You know, like with, I think his name, the actor's Michael Bell, I think, who plays Quado and also played in Starship Troopers. Michael Ironside was in both this and Starship Troopers. And you got Ryan Cox, this, and RoboCop. Sharon Stone, this, and Basic Instinct. So he, you know, how could you not like working with Paul Verhoeven? God, I wish the guy was still making films. But it's a shame because after Hollow Man and Showgirls, it's like,
well, I mean, he is still making films, but I think it's mostly like foreign films now. Yeah. He's not making, you know, like, he's not. I wish he would go back to that genre as I hit my microphone and everything shakes around. I wish he would go back to just making those kinds of films. But at the same time, what if he did and, you know, he turns out to be like Ridley Scott and, you know, James Cameron.
That, and all those other actors, directors. It would only be if he came out with the movie that we all went to go see and wasn't good. I would probably say it would probably be because the studio hires him, tells him they'll let him make the movie that he wants to make. And then when they see the level of violence, the nudity, and the satire in this PC world we live in, they butcher the film and go against what they tell them they would agree to do. The film gets released and the fans hate it and think Paul Verhoeven has gone the way of Ridley Scott and Oliver Stone and Steven Spielberg. Oh, he used to be great, but now he just makes a lot of bad films nowadays. You know, he's got a good idea, but just can't seem to make it work on screen. I feel like that's what would happen to Paul Verhoeven, because the guy's never afraid of putting sexuality in films, nudity, violence. I mean, he doesn't see it as like, you know, yes, we need more tits here because I want to look at the tits. Yes, more blood, you know. Nothing like that. He's just doing it because violence, that's how it looks. If a guy's getting his head shot off, that's how it's supposed to look. A naked woman, that's how she looks. You know, it's not done to get people to, you know, play with themselves in the theater. It's there for, you know, trying to express what the story is telling you right now. And I feel like Hollywood today would probably cast him out of Hollywood, you know, and I'm sure he's probably kind of feels the same way. I don't know, but it's a shame.
I mean, that's probably the case. And with Total Recall, like, I remember reading something that there were like 43 drafts of the script, supposedly.
The original RoboCop went through a lot of drafts and different names and stuff like that. And, you know, I think Paul added his extra flavor to it as well. But I almost feel like Paul is one of those directors, too, that is definitely a product that I'm glad that, you know, we got to grow up on. And obviously, if we want younger generations to see these films and say, you know what, this is how rated R films should be. They shouldn't be, what, you know, brightened up so we can get the kids in. Like, these are movies. I mean, we look at RoboCop and Total Recall. We're both marketed towards kids and, like, merchandising with Nintendo video games and posters you could buy, you know, and action figures and stuff like that.
Did Total Recall have an action figure line?
They didn't have an action figure line.
I thought they had at least a figure, didn't they? Or no, I might be thinking of something else.
I don't recall any figures. I just, no pun.
Never mind. I was thinking of Last Action Hero.
Action Hero, but it wouldn't be the first rated R film. You know, like, you know, Demolition Man had an action figure line to throw at another one. But
And by the way, Demolition Man, didn't they use the reuse of the New Adventures of He-Man figures? So
yes,
cool little side note.
They did do that, but
that is another movie that we need to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah.
I love me some Demolition Man.
Yeah. And all right. And if people want to say, well, that movie's got jokes in it, but you're still having a blast with Simon Phoenix and John and looking at how hot Sandra Bullock is in the film. Like, the movie does have parody to it, but it's almost kind of like Last Action Hero in a sense. Not so far. Last Action Hero is all around parody, but Demolition Man, you can still have fun with because it still is a serious action film at the end of the day, you know, and if you can still make use of the kind of fish out of water stuff.
That's where most of the humor comes from, is just like, yeah, here he is in years ahead in the future.
Yeah. And it's, it still is done right, and it still holds up, but they don't want to make films like that anymore. They're too scared to you can do it. You can still do it. I mean, Deadpool is a prime example. It's a rated R film that was very good. You know, I don't know if I'll see the sequel, but you know, it's rated R action movies can still make bank. They can still be funny and still have great action in it too, and not feel like, you know, but that's what Deadpool is. So that's why that works. But but to bring it back to Total Recall though, and the special effects too, with the miniatures, and you got Rob Bottin's, you know, great special effects and makeup work too, with Quado and you know, all the mutants that are on Mars and things like that too. I mean, all that, the set designs look so good in this movie, from the recall room, or the brain scan room, whatever you want to call it. Just that whole setup of Arnold sitting there, and you got the really cool lights and him laying back. That whole setup too, I mean, all that stuff looks so good, or the train going around Mars, which I think some of that was a model shot, or most of it was.
I think.
You know, it all looks so good, and it's just fun. Everything you look at in the movie is just fun, and it's not really focused on. It's just these guys spent so much time expanding this world in the future, what Mars looks like and life on Earth. And I like this, that they don't get too out of sort, like with the first Alien, the first two Alien films, where it's in the future, but there's still remnants of kind of what our culture still looks like. That you still have guys working on a construction site using jackhammers and stuff like that, but the cars have a futuristic feel. They're still practicing at tennis, but they're using, you know, holograms to help work on your form, you know, and things like that. Or how the buildings look kind of futuristic, but you know, the secretary still likes to paint her nails, you know, and things like that. Like it's still close, but or like how they said, truck driver in space. Like you feel like it's a future that you could believe is not too far away in Total Recall. The same thing with the Alien films, the first two at least. You know, I like that.
Well, Joe, do you got anything to add more as like in regards to the story or any, you know, anything stuck out to you?
Well, I mean, like you said, from the beginning to the end, because this is, I mean, you know, when you think about it, there was a lot of action that Arnold did in this. I mean, hell, from, like you said, first he has his dream about, you know, being on Mars, and then he wants to go to Recall, and, you know, Laurie's not wanting him to go, but he eventually goes, and, you know, the whole thing, you know, backfired, and he had his episode, and he's going back, and then, you know, his buddy Harry, you know, from where he works, and some of the friends, you know, they kind of like corner him off, and they start, you know, jumping him. He's like, well, what's going on? And bam, he has to kill them. And he's like, immediately, bam, he's right into action. He's just killed somebody that, you know, you thought was one of your best friends. I mean, hell, and then going home, and then your wife turns on you, the whole scene where it's in the dark. I mean, that's a lot of crazy shit. And then, you know, a guy calls you, and then you got to get this briefcase. You got to get to somewhere else. And then you see that you are talking to you when you pop it up. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's like, how could he's Hauser? It's like, but, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, tell him how to, I remember how disgusting that looked when he had to put that thing up there. You'll hear a crunch or whatever and pull out his, that's when you're going back to the special effects. How great were they? I mean, not only did they look amazing, but they were so disgusting and frightening, but it's something you can't forget. Nobody can forget that scene of him taking that tracking device out through his nose. So, and again, one of the grossest things. Hell, when he goes and I remember the first time when I seen the fat woman and I didn't know what was going on, when she's like, 2 weeks, you know, and I was like, what the hell is wrong with this woman? And then you see that thing, yeah, 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 and it's him, you know, get ready for a surprise. It's like, that kind of shit just can't be recreated. I think that's why when they do try to sometimes remake a movie, they definitely don't want to copy certain things because it's like it feels phony and fake. Why would you want to try to replicate that beautiful scene or that moment? So when you do make a new Total Recall, it's going to be completely different. You know, it's not going to copy what you've seen. But of course, you remember the great ones, and you see this other one, you're like, eh, or you know, you're not really into it. Because I admit that new Total Recall, I watched 20 minutes of it, and I couldn't finish it. I couldn't. I was like, I can't finish it. So I don't know if there's anybody listening or watching. If you watched it and liked it, let us know what you thought. But I couldn't get past it. It just that's I
liked it or not.
Yeah, I couldn't. And hey, and don't think that Joe doesn't get into like newer versions or continuations of stuff. Because for example, you guys maybe have seen it or you haven't, and you whether either way you might hate it. But like that new Jumanji movie that came out, for example.
Oh yeah.
That wasn't a remake, in case people were wondering, because there are some people say, I don't want to see it, it's a remake, I like the original. That's not a remake. It's a complete new movie, and it's a continuation, actually, of the story. I actually enjoyed it. I thought the new Jumanji was good. That's just me.
I know, I as well thought it was perfectly fine and yeah. Harmless. Tyler has also seen it. Let's get Tyler's opinion.
Oh, shit, is this going to be a 20-minute hate fest? Are we going to have a hate crime again? You know what? Hold on. Just to let you know, people, Nathan loves doing this shit. You guys, for those that you just listen and you don't watch our podcast, that's why I encourage you watching. Watch what Nathan is doing when Tyler goes on a 20-minute rant. He's down there, and he's smiling. It's like he's relishing. He loves watching Tyler get angry, which that's what he's doing. He's trying to poke the bear because he wants Tyler to lose his shit because Nathan loves this. So I'll sit
like,
back.
It's Christmas morning. It's like Christmas morning when you were 5 years old.
It's devilish. You have a... You do. You have a devilish, evil smile that you do when he's talking. You do it on purpose. But go ahead, Tyler. That's why he said go ahead, Tyler, because I'm sure this will go into a shit fest. And watch Nathan.
Come on, Tyler. He's just going to sit there like, and smile. I'm not a puppet anymore. You can't make me dance.
I mean, he's trying to figure out how he could turn a 20-minute rant into like a 5-minute rant.
It's not a movie I would ever desire to see again. It was passable, but it was a movie that could have been a hell of a lot worse because there was some stuff I'm like, well, that's not funny. Oh, great, they're doing it again. Oh, they're doing it again. It's like, all right, it wasn't funny the first time. Can we stop already? You know, and I mean, but it wasn't, you know, the worst movie I've seen by far. No, it was not. I'm not going to deliberately hate on one of the Rock's movies that I've seen just because I don't like him as an actor, you know, and I've told Nathan this before. I said, The Rock has the look of someone that you can see as someone in it, plausible in an action movie. I don't think the guy needs to be the star in action movies. I think he would do fine as a supporting role, you know, kind of like how Jesse Ventura was in Predator. Like, did Jesse need to go on to do a lot of great movies after that? No. And nor did I want to see him, but he was great in Predator. I feel like The Rock could do well if they would stop having him be just kind of singing and dancing along, for lack of a better phrase, and stop trying to be cute all the time. You know, if The Rock was going to play a very serious character, like a serious action role, and they're not going to, you know, make him, you know, the guy that, you know, just gets everyone chuckling and just plays kind of a naive big muscle guy, I'm like, I don't want to see that. You know, because he's been cast to play Black Adam in the Captain Marvel movie, and he looks the role of Black Adam. And regardless of how goofy the bodysuit looks on Captain Marvel, you know, I'd like to think that The Rock could portray a very serious interpretation of Black Adam and not someone who's, oh, it's The Rock playing Black Adam. It's not Black Adam played by The Rock. It's, you know, we got to make him laugh. We got to make the audience laugh and giggle and things like that. But no, all right, Jumanji. Not the worst movie I've ever seen. It was fine, but I don't need to see it again. I don't. It's like if I was at my brother's house and my little nephew was watching it, I'd be fine. I wouldn't be like, Derek, what are you doing? What are you doing letting him watch this? I'm like, fine, whatever.
I think we may have mentioned that on one of the other shows because we did sort of discuss it briefly. I want to say maybe I'm. Imagine.
That redhead is hot as hell. Whoever that redhead was, oh, good God almighty. I
doing that baby I love you way, Monday. Like, that's not funny. Why are they doing this? It's not
I enjoyed funny. Look at I just enjoyed looking at her.
Well, that was one of her special skills was dance fighting, though. That was one of her skills.
I could have picked a better song and not done it for comedic reasons. Couldn't they have done like a much more, you know, sexier song for her to kick ass to? It's like, no, we got it's a song from the '80s, isn't it, funny people? Oh man, you know, just
there's Nathan's smile. There we go. That's it.
Well, all right.
Me doing that makes me think when we see the trailer for Bad Boys 2 in the theaters, and me and Nathan would just like pull our eyes out. So Nathan, we always make fun of Will Smith. You're like, yeah, that movie's gonna suck balls, man.
Well, all right. I'll pose this question. I know we always get sidetracked. I'll pose this question to you though, and I think I already know your answer, but I kind of want everyone else to kind of get your opinion again. You've stated before, like when we've talked about the Marvel films and, you know, the Yuck Fest and all that, and it's great, and I love watching you rant and rave about it. But if we get back into these films, not in particular like Total Recall, but some of Arnold's other body of work, and I'm going to exclude Kindergarten Cop because, you know what you're getting when you go into that. But there are some of the other films that there are like a lot of one-liners and jokey parts. Like how is that one of those things that adds to the film for you, or is it something that like you take that for what it is and sort of put it to the side? Because I know you've talked about how you want it, like, all right, occasionally we can have this and this, but you want it to be a little more like when it comes down to brass tacks, you got to be serious to portray it like there's real stakes and everything. I guess I don't really have that question there, but like, how do you take that? How do you distinguish that? Because there are a lot of one-liners and funny parts in Arnold's work, you know, and Stallone and all of those 80s action films. There are a lot of one-liners and things. Do you look at that differently, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
I think probably the only example where I would immediately think of is Commando. Like, I mean, Commando is still a serious film, but when they say they deliberately put in one-liners for Arnold to say, you know, I don't watch it and cringe, because honestly, and Predator's another one. And because I say that one because within the last couple of years, my dad had brought it to my attention. He didn't like the line "stick around" when Arnold impales someone with his knife. As a kid, I didn't take it as a joke. I took it as like he just killed someone and was just saying "stick around" because it's the Alan Silvestri music is still playing. Arnold takes off. He's carrying his gun. Like, you're not really, I guess it's done to kind of make the audience chuckle, but in the middle of this heated gunfight. But I don't see a lot of Arnold's 80s films as, you know, heavy in one-liners. Just Commando a little bit. But even that, I'm like, as an adult, I don't see them as that. You know?
Okay, is there anything in any of those films that made you roll your eyes? And I guess I could bring it to a give it more of a modern twist. We'll exclude the third one in this because we both know that that third one wasn't that good. But the first two Expendables films, do you think there are a lot of parts in that got too jokey?
At times, but, you know, yeah, there were some times where, looking back at it, and because another one of those times too where I didn't really, because I was so excited to see them, I didn't really want to quite admit that. And then it got to where the third film comes out. I'm like, this movie sucks, man. It's just bad jokes. They pissed away using Webb Gibson just so they get Ronda Rousey and Kel Lutz and those other two jerk offs that serve no purpose in the movie other than to be caught so we get the band back together and rescue the idiots who were too young and stupid to do the mission on their own, or they get captured by Webb Gibson. Point is, it was bad jokes all around. Even Arnold was telling bad jokes. Everybody sucked in that film. It was a wasted opportunity, and there was just no denying. I told Nathan, like, it sucked. It was awful. I just, what the heck? And I haven't seen it since theater, and I don't want to see it again. The second one was great. It has some stuff I'm like, they don't need to do that. But with Van Damme being in it and having Chuck Norris, Arnold, Stallone, everybody, kind of hard to argue that. But, and I've told Nathan too, the recent catalog of films that Arnold's done have not been that good. not because, you know, he's not the Arnold of the 90s and the 80s, but just the films themselves were just not as enjoyable. I did like Escape Plan. Escape Plan was fun. But, you know, Stallone, I feel like, has done a better job in the Twilight era of his of his life with Bullet to the Head, Creed, and Grudge Match was fine too, you know.
And bring back Rocky and Rambo.
Yeah. Rambo 4 was good, but it's not a film that I go back and revisit nowhere near as much as the first three. I just have more fun with those.
So I guess we just boil it down to, because all these characters in these movies weren't already like established characters. I guess Tyler takes them more to heart with Marvel because it is a property that he grew up with. Getting back to that whole thing, but I'll just be down in the corner.
Why do I feel so outnumbered? Like, I know you guys don't mind jokes in movies, and it's become a common thing, you know, in horror movies. And maybe it's because I watched so many of these action movies as a kid that the jokes went over my head, and I didn't see it as joke. I just took it as that's a line of dialogue in the movie. I don't laugh at this stuff.
I don't know. I guess I just take it at face value, and I just never let it. I don't know. I'm at that point now where
it totally made combat jokes in it too. Like, when Richter dies, see you at the party, Richter. You know, things like that. Like, but I don't balk at that. I mean, because of how raw the death is. You know, Richter's arms being torn off by an elevator. You know, and that's by that point, Arnold's kind of standard was he says kind of a fun line for the audience to kind of chuckle at, but not to the point where I like, you know, it wasn't overly silly. And yes, some of them were puns, but
yeah, some funny parts even worked for me. I love the part, remember when he used the thing to create the, like, you know, the hologram of himself? When he first was laughing? I love that part he's laughing. You thought this was great? It is. And he shot. Oh, fucking man. They lost their shit in the theater on that part. Everybody's cheering. Those are the parts that, yeah, you can get into. It works. Yeah. It works for the movie. It doesn't take you out. Yeah, and it doesn't take you out of it. It just keeps you right in there. So it works for what they were trying.
Yeah. I agree with all of that, you know. And when Johnny Cab is poking fun at Arnold and he finally just has enough of it, just tears him out and then, you know, hope you enjoy the ride. Boom, you know, boom. I'm like, it's Robert Picardo playing Johnny Cab. Like, it's cool. I like all that because it's, well, first off, you got better people making these movies too. You know, you got people, you know, I just, they capture lightning in the bottle. All these movies that we guys, you know, and Joe's older. And I always felt like, you know, Joe's older than I am. And I'm acting like the grumpy old man. You know, but I feel like, you know, all these movies from like Ghostbusters and all the great Arnold Stallone films, the Van Damme films, Joe Steven Seagal films, you know, all these classic horror movies, I feel like all this stuff was lightning in the bottle. You know, yes, there may be some installments that were probably not as good as some of the originals, but when you see great filmmaking from the original Nightmare on Elm Street to a certain Friday the 13th, the first Halloween, the first Jaws, Terminator 2, Aliens, to say it's not always about the first film. They're not going in with the intention of, like, we got to have a joke every few seconds. You know, when you watch these movies, you like the characters. You laughed at Hudson's antics, but it wasn't like the movie was trying to make the audience laugh every few moments. You know, or that, you know, when Ripley looks at the queen alien, when the eggs are over the hatch and she cocks her head. You know, she could, today she would have said some really bad line of dialogue because we've got to show how tough women are. I'm like, no, Sigourney Weaver's playing Ripley is just a badass who doesn't talk. She's just going to shoot the hell out of everything and not try to get in, you know. No, Ripley would say this really cool line like, time to scramble these eggs, you know, or some stupid shit like that, you know.
Maybe it is the Disney involvement that has made these movies what they are.
Well, yeah, because when you look back at Iron Man, and I get, that's where I give, I mean, Iron Man, that's credit to Robert Downey Jr. because he redefined Iron Man, because Iron Man was a C-level character until that movie came out. Now everybody loves Iron Man. But not everybody needs to be Robert Downey's take on Iron Man. Like, you can't have Chris Evans cutting jokes all the time. You can't have Chris Hemsworth doing that all the time.
Well, to get back to about the creativity in films, maybe part of it is also, like, when you think about it, how many studios were around at that time and how many are they around now? So many of them have merged, and Disney basically owns like a good quarter of it, you know? So maybe that is part of it. Like, there are creative things and movies that still come out these days, but it is very few and far between. And half the time they don't even get a major theatrical release.
No, and a lot of it too is that, you know, at least, and it's, I hate to harp on, it's about the 80s, because it ain't just because I grew up with, you know, films and cartoons towards the 80s. I love behind the scenes stories. And when you hear the studios of the 80s from Fox, Universal, Paramount, you know, these are studios, executives, and it's like, you know, we're going to do this. We're not worried about, you know, getting it, an R rating. We need to get it down from an NC-17 to get an R rating, because at least back then, and into the 90s too, R-rated films still made lots of money. You know, I hate this transition where people felt like we can't make a good movie unless it's PG-13. And I almost feel like that has been a snowball effect in entertainment today, that people are still are convinced. And I know when Deadpool came out, no one expected it to be the hit that it was, and it was rated R and foul mouth and violent. We need more of those. Well, don't really feel like we're getting a whole lot of that. It's still a lot of it's PG-13 and stuff like that. And superheroes that define, you know, like, this is badass, just have a new Spider-Man movie, a new Iron Man movie. Now they're just, right, you know, like Jack Nicholson says, brighten it up for the kids, as if kids couldn't appreciate a serious superhero movie.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're acting as if, like, you know, maybe it's because they're worried we can't make as much money, which I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't really use that as an excuse. Are you worried that bitchy mothers today are going to sit there and say, my child saw Robert Downey say this and dress like this, and I'm appalled by that, so therefore I'm a concerned mother, so make dumb down Tony Stark and have him act like a moron in Iron Man 4. You know,
I think it's like part that and part like opinions are too accessible these days. You know, everyone can vocalize, just like we're doing now. You know, 20 years ago we wouldn't be able to do this.
I know a lot of this is, you know, yes, because of social media, studios and companies are well aware of what people have to say. But, you know, back in the day, people wrote letters. People took the time to hand write 2 or 3 pages. You should not cast Michael Keaton as Batman because of this. All right, we'll prove you guys wrong. We're going to release a trailer to show you guys we're not making a comedy. We're making a dark, badass Batman flip with virtually no dialogue and no score. And it just set the world on fire. Fanboys, shut up. You know, but now everyone is so afraid. Like, we can't have anybody. I mean, why not? How come I can't stand Will Ferrell movies? So how come people aren't listening to me? Well, there's a gentleman in Radford, Virginia, who doesn't like Will Ferrell because he finds his humor cheap and offensive, because all he does is run around naked and say, look at my belly, guys. Isn't it funny? For cheap humor. I'm offended by that, because I think it's just lazy-ass humor, and they keep making them. Why aren't they listening to me? I'm offended by that. Why is Mark Wahlberg allowed to keep making bad movies where he's acting like a thug from the streets? I'm offended by that because he sucks. Why do they keep making movies? I'm offended by that. Why can't my opinion be honored?
Joe can see it. He's like, I think I'm going to change the title of this episode when we're done to deconstructing Tyler Baker.
Because like I said, I'm listening, and I love hearing Tyler lose his shit. So as I'm listening to him, I just look at Nathan, and I just watch that shit-eating grin that you have the whole entire time. And then you guys can't see because I'm wearing this, but I'm just smiling.
I was wondering, when Joe's grabbing his hood, I'm thinking, is he thinking, okay, can I get in something to say now, or is he laughing?
No, because, you know, the weird thing is, as a natural gesture, you know, when I laugh, I'm always holding my head when I laugh. So even with the mask here, I'm still just holding it. I sometimes even forget it's here, but that's just a natural thing I always do. So, yeah, you ever see me doing this? I'm trying to hold in my laugh because, oh, shit, Nathan was just doing that. But he just baits you, Tyler. He wants you to do it. He just, look at him, because that's the thing. When Tyler usually is doing his, you know, ranting and this, he's looking up to the side off. He's never looking at the screen much. Do it one time and look at that fucker right there. He's just smiling the whole time because he's baiting your ass. That's all he wants to do. And hey, JSP, thanks for joining us. I've been wanting to say it for the past half hour. Just haven't got a chance. So thanks for joining us, bud.
Yeah, no, we haven't, Joe and I haven't been able to get much of a word in on this episode. It's mostly been Tyler.
But that's because you, Nathan, you do it. You're like, well, Tyler, let me give you this question. And you deconstruct the question for 5 minutes. Then you give it to him. Of course, you're doing it. You're making this happen.
I may as well just be sitting here with a notepad and he should be like laying on a couch.
I guess so.
Show me on the doll where Chris Pratt offended you.
Yeah. Oh, God. I just take the doll and rip his head off.
Yeah. Now, hey, I'm going to do the role of Nathan because, Nathan, beyond this show that we're doing right here, is this something that you've always done to Tyler, like even just in your personal life? Do you poke him on purpose to do this shit in public or what?
Sometimes. I don't think I don't think it's ever been a thing where it's like there's a big audience publicly. I'm like, oh, hey guys, watch this. I mean, it.
At the theater, though, you like sometimes seeing what'll happen or what? You ever like egg him on to see if he gets really irritated during a movie?
Well, see, that's the thing, too. When Tyler and I would go to the movies a lot, there would be times when I would get irritated as well. I've since sort of just like given up on trying to have expectations for films or being too excited or, you know, worrying about how it's going to play out. Like, I'll just watch it, and if it sucked, like, I move on. But there have been times. Tyler brought up, like, G.I. Joe when we went and saw that. Like, he's just sitting there the whole time. But then there's also when we went and saw the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, and, like, I was getting really pissed off about it. And
so did he kind of like poke you in a way to see if he could?
No, I broke the cardinal sin and started texting a girl I just went out with before we went to go to the movie, which I hate people pulling the phones out. But that was the one time, and still to this day, I pulled my phone out and actually started playing. Like, I was texting a girl during that movie. He's like, you know what? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I do not care.
And I wasn't even bothered by the fact that he was texting, because normally I would be like, dude, like, put your phone away or something. I didn't even care at that point. I'm just sitting there watching, like, so I mean, it used to happen.
Okay.
Me too.
Alien versus Predator is another example. Like, actually, I was so mad, but if Nathan had not been making, like, when the alien was catching an egg, he made this really loud fart noise. Now, as silly as it is, but he timed it just right when it was shitting out an egg. And the movie was so bad by that point, and I just died laughing in the chair. Because he was acting as if the alien queen was farting eggs. And yes, it was so silly, but by that point, you're so mad and put out with what you're seeing. A fart joke went a long way and helped me get through the rest of the film. Of course, when we come out, you know, Nathan's, we're both just tearing it to shreds, you know.
And that's the first Alien versus Predator, not that Requiem, or are you talking about the first one?
Yeah, that was something Nathan didn't want to see, and I still held out hope that the second one, because it was rated R, you know, it didn't realize that the story was going to focus on a pizza delivery boy, his ex-con brother, and a girl who'd just been discharged from the service. You know, is going to be our heroes here, and it's going to be, you know, Mayberry meets Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, that was the worst Christmas night ever.
Yeah.
Because we saw that Christmas night, and it was fucking terrible.
Yeah, that was my idea to drag him to that one, because I really wanted to see it. I had high hopes it was going to be better, and no, it wasn't.
Yeah, because JSP was wondering which movie, and I just assumed it was the first one you guys
I mean, both of them suck.
Yeah, yeah, we went opening night for both of them. We actually drove an hour to go to a better theater to see Alien versus Predator, and the word had gotten out that whoever wins, we lose. Well, we lost. Like, that was the tagline for a lot of reviews I had read that day. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and Nathan, he had a free ticket, I think, because he bought
Yeah, I saw that movie for free, and I was still just like, man.
I still want my money back.
Yeah, what a waste of money.
I'm going to give JSP my quick answer to a quick question you guys can answer because you might have loved it. But he said, what did you guys think of Predators? I didn't like Predators. I didn't get into it. I know they were trying to do it on a different world, but it just something seemed flat and off to me. I wasn't into Predators at all. So that's just my quick thing. I'm not going to give a gigantic speech about it. I just didn't like it.
I'll go real quick before Tyler goes on another 15-minute rant. I thought it was okay. Like, it obviously had problems. Like, there were too many. I would say personally, there were too many characters there, too many things. And none of them, they all just seemed kind of bland. So it was.
It just wasn't a memorable cast. Definitely didn't have a really big main hero lead, whether it was a female or a male. It just. there was not that memorable lead. It's like, oh, that's that one fucking guy. Like, I always, every time I see him, and I'll be honest, I don't know his name as an actor, the one with the big nose. I always think of, oh, okay, Adrian. Yeah, every time I see him, I, for whatever reason, all I want to think of is The Village. That's the only thing that pops into my mind when he's clapping, and, you know, he's playing the role of a slow character. So it's like, that's how I see him. So, and then I'm like, hey, that's the other guy. That's Topher Grace from that 70s like show. It's like,
if you go to a movie and Topher Grace is in it, it's probably not going to be good.
Yeah, that's why I was like, yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, that's my thought. Just wasn't into it.
I think I'm trying to remember. I don't think Tyler liked it when he first saw it.
It was a movie that I really wanted to like because it was Predator, again, without the Alien versus Predator. And still, that's a property that still could work if done right, not, you know, have lousy directors and idiots in charge calling the shots. But as of now, no, Predators, that's a film that I could just dismiss completely. It's a flatline movie. It's boring. The characters are not enjoyable. They're trying to set up this kind of camaraderie, like, but there's nobody likable. They're not fun characters. Yeah. It's just a bore. The guys portraying the predators, and we actually, well, we talked to Derek Mears, who portrayed the elder predator that's captive, and we were talking to him about his portrayal of the predator, you know, and, you know, we didn't come out and say, you know, the other guys, was like, they were trying too hard to be predators. Like, did anyone in, because Derek really wanted to model his portrayal of the elder predator after how Kevin Peter Hall played him. And when you got the predators doing this whole kind of thing, you're like, dude, come on, man. You're acting silly.
This isn't a Darth Maul fan film.
Yeah. With the Berserker Predator looked absolutely ridiculous. Adrian Brody, no, he has no business playing an action lead. It was just Topher Grace. I'm like, this is so goofy. Like, there shouldn't be a plot twist in a Predator of a movie. And you're thinking the audience is going to be freaking out because he's a serial killer doctor? Who gives a shit? You know, it was just like, this is the not the time or the place to introduce this Hannibal Lecter kind of character.
But well, all right. Do you have any hope for this new one coming out?
No.
Oh, there's another one coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shane Black, is he directing it as well, or did he just write it?
He's directing it too, yeah.
Yeah, question, I read this.
Is it on Earth? Is it on Earth? Okay, because I just, not to cut you off, Nathan, I just want to say real quick. Was just another thing that took me out of it. I mean, it's on this other world, but the thought of at the end they were stuck there and still didn't get home. It just, shit like that, like I told you, with certain movies, just annoys the hell out of me.
That doesn't bother me. And the idea, that's the thing. I wish Robert Rodriguez had actually directed. He just produced it. But also, I don't like some of his ideas, like introducing, you know, hunting dogs essentially for the predator. You know, like, one could argue that these younger group of predators, they're, what the hell are you doing here? You're killing my moment.
Sorry, I had to get a drink of water and I don't have a straw.
He's keeping kayfabe there.
Apologize. I'm here though, but go ahead, keep talking.
Okay. But I just felt like they're making the predators a little too close to how hunting is, where they have guard dogs, they've got a bird that does surveillance. Like, when you see the first Predator films, the Predator's strictly relying on him and his instincts and how good of a hunter he really is. Like, this is like in the first one, he's dropped off. You kind of get the idea this is a really experienced Predator. And then in the second one, it's like this Predator is a younger Predator who's been kind of led off to, you go hunt in New York. And when you're done, you come back to the ship. And you know, almost like, you know, you kind of feel like he was either kind of proving himself or just they're letting this younger predator go and see how good he can run around Los Angeles and capturing prize of the hunt with Danny Glover and everything like that. But in this one, three predators, I had no problem with that, but just how they were portrayed. Kevin Peter Hall, I don't think he gets enough credit as the Predator, and that's why Predators and Alien vs. Predator and Requiem all suck, because the guys who are in the suits have no idea how to portray the Predator. They'd get these big, bulky guys to play the Predator, and they look like fat Predators. You know, they don't look right. Kevin Peter Hall was a guy that was over 7 foot tall, real slim. So when you put the suit on him, it looks perfect. It doesn't look like he, you know, is just like a big, heavy power lifter. It just looks disproportionate. It looks silly. And his mannerisms, like when you watch him crouch down, or the way he moves his head, or his hands, there's so much more to just playing the Predator than, you know, just it's just bullshit.
It happened again.
This is probably the best fucking episode ever because we barely talked about Total Recall. We have talked about everything else. This is great.
I feel really flushed. Like, I feel like my I feel like
Dude, you look red. Like, your face down your chest. You're, like, gradually... I mean, my face is red right now. It's just from crying so much.
I think mine's due to anger. Like, I feel, like, really flushed. Like, someone's really pissed me off.
I feel like we've talked 15 minutes about Total Recall.
I was going to bring it back to Total Recall.
How can we do it?
Before the episode ends, we can at least discuss the twists of the film, you know, like he finds out early on that it's like, you're not you, you're me. And this is like, you get the tidbits and then it goes on. And then it's like, oh wait, no, but actually this was just a ploy to get these guys here. And you're actually the bad guy. And he doesn't want to accept that either. Like, I thought that was really cool. It's like just going against traditional storytelling. Like, you're thinking this whole time like he's the good guy, and then right there at the end it's like, nope, he wasn't at all. But then he's like, I'm not accepting that either. I don't even really know where I'm going with that. Was that something that caught you guys off guard, you know, the first time you watched it, where you're just like, oh my god?
See, when I as an adult, when I watch it, I mean, I am convinced. And I know Joe has his idea, and I'm not saying this to differentiate what Joe thought, because, you know, even the behind the scenes, the music that plays at the end of the film is supposed to signify that what we're watching is a dream. However, I have always felt the minute when he goes to recall and he's going back and falls asleep, and they cut to Mr. McClane talking to his latest customer, that's where I felt like the dream is going on. You know, like everything, you know, because I do know in certain movies, they will show you certain things to immediately just throw the audience off, to make them feel like you're, because there's a shot of Harry when they're sitting at the construction site. Hey, I'm thinking about going to recall. Don't go to him, man. They mess with your head. So Arnold goes back to work, and then Harry kind of keeps looking at him as if like he knows something. Something's up. Or when Arnold leaves his apartment and Sharon Stone closes the door, and she kind of just, it's kind of, there's a shot of her just kind of looking, like thinking, as if like there's two characters close to Arnold, and they're both characters that once the dream, or once we're given the idea that the implant, we haven't done the implantation yet, that they're already set up to be, you know, the people who are trying to keep him from rediscovering what's really going on. Whereas I've always felt that the minute he's gone to sleep, you know, because they tell us about he's a secret agent, you save the world, you know, you're going to get the girl, all this stuff happens, but it's all part of the dream. Like, I just kind of have always felt that everything we're watching, the minute he leaves recall, we're seeing the dream take place. We're not given the details of what kind of secret agent he is, because he clearly is an evil secret agent, but the one we're watching is a good guy who was a bad guy, you know. And I mean, because they said it's very detailed. 2 weeks worth of memories is what we're told he's given. So all this stuff here, it feels like, you know, you're watching all, it's so detailed, like that we're just watching one big memory implantation, even though we're given shots that are trying, I guess, you watch multiple times, makes it sound like the whole thing from the very beginning, when he wakes up and from his nightmare, that we're all watching one big dream, so to speak. But
that's interesting that you feel that way and Joe feels the other way. I guess I would lean more with wanting to feel how Joe feels, just because I want it to have like that happy ending and not think that it was all a dream. But, you know, I definitely, it's a movie that I feel like deserves multiple viewings to try to like put it all together and discover for yourself if you think that it was a dream this entire time, or if it was actually taking place and he was making all the changes.
Well, because when they make a point to sit and say, we haven't implanted it yet, I almost feel like that's done just deliberately to throw the audience off, that everything you watch in there is, well, what the hell's going on here? At what point does the dream start? Because they say the music that plays when it fades to white is to let the audience know, yes, what you're seeing here with him kissing Melina at the end, it's all a dream. Saving Mars, it's all a dream. But at what point does the dream start? Because I still like to think that in real life, he is married to Sharon Stone. He's living a monotonous life as a construction worker. He wants to move to Mars. The stuff he's seeing with Ronnie Cox's character saying, you know, the rebels in Quato, you know, there probably is. But you don't know what Quato looks like. But when you see it in the dream, in the sand plantation, it's a guy who's really a mutant, you know, so to speak. As opposed to it could have just been some kind of just could look like Joe, could look like Nathan, you know, could have been Quato. We don't know. But that's the fun of this film, you know, is that there's so many ways you could go about it, and you don't really feel like it takes away from the film. Because even though, in my mind, I'm watching it, and when it ends, it's a dream, it's still a damn blast to watch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when they do dream sequences in movies, like the cheap kill, oh, it's just a dream. The cheap scare, oh, it's just a dream. That's what pisses me off about using a dream. But when this whole movie is trying to tell you, is this a dream or is it not? That's the key to it. That's why I feel like if it is a dream, okay, I get it now. Because it's a puzzle you're putting together. You know, not like Inception. Movie sucked. You know, it was like, oh, you ain't fooling anybody. I know what you're trying to do in this movie. But it's just fun to try and like, we've all got different views, and that's what makes it so much fun. Because I could see why Joe would say that. And I understand where Nate, and that's what makes it fun. There's no real definitive answer, I guess
you could say. I was about to say, has Paul Verhoeven or Arnold or, you know, anyone ever come out outright and said clearly this is what it is?
I think, it's in the behind the scenes, and I think Jerry Goldsmith's music, I think they even say, like, when they interviewed Jerry Goldsmith, who did the score, the point of that music, I think he's the one being asked that and says, yes, the music and the fade to white is to let the audience know, yes, what you're seeing is the dream.
I'll have to like check out the bonus features on the disc.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the bonus features. Like I said, I know they talked to Jerry about the music, and they kind of do something similar to Basic Instinct, that when you see the ending in the ice, the camera pans down to the ice pick, even though you don't see Sharon Stone do it, the music in that shot implies she's the killer, even though they don't directly tell you that she's the killer in the film. Whereas in this, they're letting the visual and the music kind of give you the answer without deliberately telling you. Because then when you walk out there, you're like, I don't know, man, you know, but that's what makes it fun. You know, I'm sure you could probably still argue that Catherine Tremell wasn't the killer in Basic Instinct, and that it was really Gene Triplehorn. But we all know it's Catherine Tremell.
I don't know.
Are just like, who is that?
I don't even know what to say to that. This show has gone off in so many different directions. It's been amazing.
Yeah, normally I'd be like, I'm worried about the content, but you know what? You know, you guys.
Why would you be worried about the content?
Well, because we do it so much. We said we're going to talk about this, and then we spend the whole time circling the drain about everything else, and then we try.
Well, but we brought it back to Recall, and yeah. We just had a great like 10-minute conversation about how we felt if it was actually what happened or if it was a dream all along.
Yeah, I mean this was a blast to do, regardless. I mean, yeah, I got really mad a lot, but still, it was. If you two are laughing, it makes it worthwhile. Like, if I know, you know, you guys are laughing because I'm getting mad and red-faced, then, you know, it makes it worthwhile.
Well, I mean, I've already gotten a text from one of my friends that was tuning in that didn't jump into the chat and said that this week's podcast is cracking me up. So, obviously, we're doing
a good job. You know, maybe hopefully others can enjoy it, too. And I mean, if I get Joe laughing, it's not too often we get to see Joe laugh because Joe's hiding behind the mask and, when he grabs his head, it's like he's like Rocky Dennis in Mask. He's like, oh, got a headache or something like that when he does it, you know. But, you know, it almost feels like, you know, because Nathan used to love to get me to laugh. And now I almost feel like it's easy to make Nathan laugh because all I did was get pissed off about a movie. Nathan's just having fun at my expense.
Yep.
You know, so have both you guys laughing on the podcast. You know, that's a treat.
Joe, do you have any other, like, thoughts, opinions, is there anything about Total Recall that you didn't enjoy?
No, I liked it all. I mean, the only thing, you know, I've said, it's just, like I said, it's just my taste, but, like, if at the end it was, like, definitive, like, if during the movie, even though, like you said, it basically is supposed to be a dream, but if that would have happened, like, let's say you would have did everything else, and let's say he would have woke up and you would have seen it was a dream, I just know me for myself, I would have been so damn pissed at the theaters because of everything I went through, because I'd like to know that them saving Mars and giving life to a planet that's dead, and that to where you couldn't exist unless you're in this dome, the thought of, wow, they've just given life and now people can live here, and in case there's, you know, overpopulation on Earth, there's another place you can live. For me, that it's like it'd be a dream for people, like, wow, this is fantastic. Now there's more life beyond just Earth. But to know that it was just a dream and they would have said it, I just know what I got to piss. Because like I said, for me, it's like I was on this big roller coaster ride and I was excited. And at the end, I kind of just got derailed. Like, you just kicked me in the balls, you know. But I understand, like you said, they said it was supposed to be a dream. And for me, I still, in my head, like you said, it's just my interpretation. I don't want to picture it as a dream because I feel like, damn it, I don't want to feel like I went through all that for nothing.
It really could. Like I said, when they deliberately make a point to sit there and say that Arnold hasn't been given the implantation yet, so why is he freaking out? You know, but when they're doing all this stuff and you see that he picks out his woman, he's falling asleep, and then it cuts, and then all we see is Arnold freaking out. I mean, all right, let me ask you then. What do you suggest is happening if they don't have what are we watching? Is everything that we're seeing here from the moment Arnold wakes up from his nightmare on Mars to it, where he's in bed with Sharon Stone, the whole thing is this memory wipe of him being Douglas Quaid and not really being who he really is. The whole thing. And the whole idea that he's still like the character, or that the alternate identity he is of Douglas Quaid, who's somehow bored with life, even though he's really a secret agent working for Cohagen. I mean, all right, God, I feel like I'm confusing myself trying to ask you the question here.
You're essentially just asking us if we basically think that it's not a dream, the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, even though they're saying the movie was done with it being a dream, but I feel like it's a movie that, it, you know, and I know with Joe, he doesn't want to believe it's a dream, whereas I think Nathan might be a little open to kind of various interpretations. Because it clearly, if you want, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I felt like they do certain scenes just to throw the audience off, just for storytelling purposes. It's like movie 101. You don't want to give them the answer immediately. You want to throw them a curveball, so that way, as they're taking this ride, you don't know where you're going. Because
no, you're right.
It's kind of a lie, so to speak. But that's basic movie making. You have to throw curveballs to the audience because you can't have them thinking that this you don't want them to know the answer 20 minutes.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean. Because like at the end, like you said, they play that kind of music and it kind of gives you an idea and it's telling you, okay, it probably basically was a dream. And then you said the person that, you know, worked on the music said, yes, it was basically a dream. So when you're wondering, at least like without the behind the scenes of him saying that and others wondering, like, it could have been, was it maybe? And like, you know, that kind of part, okay, I can understand, you know, you wondering, because it leaves both people satisfied. Those who, like me, want to think, damn, you know, like, okay, he just wanted, you know, he was getting ready to get put under. He was getting ready to have this, you know, whole life and implant for 2 weeks, but somehow he broke out of it or something. Maybe the serum didn't like take full effect. And now he's really living this life. And that would be great. But then there's others that say, oh, well, for it to be a dream, it's kind of cool, but it was still good. But that's what I mean. At the end, if they would have gave a definitive thing, like let's say after he did it and he's standing there with Melina, like, you know, but is it a dream or something? And then, or however he would have said it. And then what if then he would have snapped awake and then you would have seen it was a whole implant? I just wonder if it might have pissed more people, like end.
No, that definitely would have been a shitty way to end a movie. So the way that they went about it was perfect. It leaves that balance of, you know, taking it at face value and believing what happened. Or taking cues from little things that you notice along the way, like Tyler did, and being like, well, maybe it was just a dream. That's sort of the beauty of it all.
Right. And because, like you said, now that they definitively said it, you know, that it was a dream, then it's like, okay, now people do know. But I'd still like, just for my satisfaction in my own little reality, I always want to still imagine he really went through that shit and it wasn't a dream, just because it makes it more exciting for me. But I mean, if, yes, like they said, it was a whole dream, I can understand that and that's fine. But I just got to do something for my head, you know, to think, okay, he still went through that.
Implants the Joe there.
Implant that, you know, this shit really happened. It really happened.
Oh, and besides, it's fine because no one watches people don't watch bonus features and listen to commentary tracks on discs anymore. I've kind of noticed that pattern as well. Like when movies get released these days, like there's less and less bonus features. And when there are features on there, like deleted scenes, whatever, it's not really that much. And it's just like fluffer pieces. And, you know, I think they still put commentaries on a lot of things, but
they do it for movies that we still like The Burbs and, you know, older action movies and stuff like that.
Well, that's been a lot of like Shout Factory wanting to do that stuff. Like to me, that's starting to become more of a niche.
Well, yeah, thing. And I feel like it's people who really, and for me, I'm a junkie for commentaries and behind the scenes stories and deleted scenes of what ifs and what was going to happen. Like I love that kind of stuff. I mean, I've listened to Tim Burton's. Okay, he's taking the mask off there.
Gotta get a drink again, damn it. We've been on here an hour and a half, and you'd think that with all the talking that I have not been doing, I wouldn't be thirsty, but I'm thirstier than shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to my almost like all of the water
here. Oh yeah, mine is already gone, but it is a niche thing. I feel like the majority, like a good chunk of the special features come from certain companies. Like I got two examples right here. Roadhouse, which yeah. Shout put out, and then Arrow Video put out Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and I don't know if you can like see that too well, but all of this right here is special features, like all of that, you know, and you just don't get that anymore with major releases.
Honestly, in current movies, like I'm not interested in the behind the scenes stuff for a lot of the stuff that's been come out in the last 20 years. I mean, it's always been movies that have transcended just standard movie going and movie making, like this, you know, like when you talk about Jaws, Predator, Ghostbusters, Roadhouse, Point Break, movies that, you know, were made a while back. And just, it's fascinating to hear more that there was so much more going on behind the scenes with a lot of these films, as opposed to, you know, as much as I love, you know, they made the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man films, I'm not really interested in hearing a commentary track on those films. I'm just not. I enjoy those films for what they are, and Andrew Garfield's performance, and leave it at that. It's more about the older, like Ghostbusters and Jaws, Batman 89, Predator, Conan the Barbarian.
Well, I mean, even Rocky on some of those, there haven't been like a ton of features that have been released on a disc. Like some of them, yeah, they do get that treatment, but there are some of those films that you do enjoy that probably deserve to have that kind of release.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, thankfully, I mean, The Burbs finally got the treatment that it deserved with a behind the scenes documentary commentary track, an alternate version of the entire film, deleted scenes. I mean, that's what I want from my classic films that I grew up on. You know, I'm surprised there isn't a commentary track for Jaws. There's a much longer documentary, not The Shark Is Still Working, but the original 1990s documentary that was made. It's about 2 hours long that has now been, you know, you can see it in its entirety, whereas on VHS, you saw like maybe 15 minutes of it. You know, there's so much, there's more. I want to know about Jaws 2 and Jaws 3 and Jaws 4. Like, as much as fans may not like those films, I'm more interested in the behind the scenes stuff. That's a story in itself, you know. And what happens, I mean, Superman Lives and the Fantastic Four movie, you know, both those films that never got, or one that was made and never got released and one that almost got made, those are fascinating stories. You know, I love the John Wick films, but I'm not really interested in the behind the scenes of how the movie came to be. Just give me the third film so I can have a fun time watching Keanu Reeves kick ass in John Wick 3, and I'll move on. You know, I'm more fascinated with the older films of what went on behind the scenes than stuff that's currently happening. Unless you hear that, you know, there's something going on that was the equivalent of making Jaws or Superman Lives, where you've cast, you start building sets and this and that. And, you know, I still haven't seen the Superman Lives documentary just because it felt like it didn't sound like they put as much into it as I'd hoped they would. So I still haven't seen it. But where the hell am I going with this?
I don't know, man. I don't know where you've been going this entire show.
God.
At least your face isn't as red as it was.
If I was going to drink, this would be a good time to start.
yeah. Yep.
how the hell do we talk more Total Recall to wrap it up? Or do we just say cut, you know?
No, I'll put it this way. Total Recall is a film that if obviously we say this every time that we talk about movies on this show. If you haven't seen it yet, track it down. It's got everything. There's so many things. Like it's got sci-fi. It's got action. You know, it's got Sharon Stone when she was super hot, and it's got twists and turns, and it's just a really good, well-crafted, like tight story. Obviously, I guess it had to be if there were 43 drafts of the script at some point. And it does
RoboCop when you said that.
Oh yeah, no. Supposedly, there were 43 drafts of.
They were trying to get it made for years.
Yeah, and I guess it makes sense that there were that many because when you think about how it ended up, you know, they wanted to make sure that they got every little thing right, but also throwing in those elements of trying to throw you off, of making it, you know, makes your brain work.
Plus, you got Paul Verhoeven and Arnold on. You have to make a movie that's going to make it an Arnold movie and a Paul Verhoeven movie, aside from just the simple sci-fi story we remember for you Wholesale. You know, it becomes a lot more elaborate with Quado and Richter and the whole, like, you know, dual identity and this and that and the mutants and, you know, trying to save Mars and all that. So all that's added in there. You know, I've never read the actual short story itself.
Yeah.
But you know, like when you got two powerhouses like Verhoeven and Arnold, you have to make it a movie, keep the story because they both love the story, but you got to make it an Arnold movie. You got to make it a Paul Verhoeven movie, but still tell the same story.
Yeah. So I just, if you haven't checked it out, please seek it out. I mean, I know we spoiled it because we always do, but
you should be watching this if you haven't seen Total Recall.
Yeah. But, and if you haven't seen it in a while, like I hadn't, just go back and revisit it. If you kind of had that opinion before of, you know, when, if you're an Arnold fan and you rank it kind of low on your list compared to the others, like Tyler does, maybe it'll change your mind watching it again. Cause
the
rewatch for me was a ton of fun just because it's just refreshing. I love going back and rewatching some of these films that I haven't seen in a while that were made during this time period, because you actually see the passion and the love for the craft. It's not about getting it out and getting a paycheck with these movies. Like, they actually cared about it when they made it. It wasn't just thrown together. And I'm so close to getting on like one of those little Tyler rants, but I'm not going to do it because it just sort of echoes sort of what he said, you know, like just Hollywood is completely different now. I wish they would take more chances and put things out there, give them that R rating. Don't water it down and make it PG-13, you know, put out, I guess you can't really say put out toys for it, because I don't think that would work now.
Well, kids, the only people buying toys are guys our age.
That's true.
You know, kids, I mean, there's still some kids that play with action figures, but most of them are just playing with their parents' phones because that way the parents can get them to shut up. So play with the phone instead of go outside and play with toys and play wiffle ball or basketball or soccer or do skin your knee up when you're running around, you know, shooting each other with Nerf guns. Do something, you know. No, play Angry Birds, the latest edition of Candy Crush Nuts or whatever the hell.
Candy Crush Nuts. Yep, that's definitely it.
Yeah.
Joe, do you have any closing thoughts on Total Recall?
No, pretty much what you guys said. See it if you haven't seen it. And apparently, Double Dare is supposed to be returning to Nickelodeon coming this summer. Hopefully it'll be great. Hopefully they don't sissify it and have the, you know, some of the stunts not as dangerous. I want them just as dangerous as they used to be. Kids slipping, falling, looking crazy shit going on. I hope it would be good. I hope they don't try to change the formula up and add too many goofy special effects into some of the events or goofy stuff. Now just have them just being kids without, like, you know, babying them. So we'll see if Nickelodeon can have a good return with Double Dare coming. Yeah. I think it's the summer.
No, I am actually glad that you brought that up because Tyler wants Mark Summers to host it again. I don't think that'll happen. I think it would be cool if, like, he showed up for the first episode and then sort of, like, passed the torch to someone. But like we had talked about, I hope that whoever they do get has that same passion for it. Looks like he actually gives a shit about being there. And if it does well, I'm kind of curious to see if they'll decide to bring back Guts and Legends of the Hidden Temple. I saw a thing and I don't know if it's real or not, but someone had taken a picture of Are You Afraid of the Dark? So that might be coming back as well.
Okay. Well, hey, I wanted to say something along the lines of Mark Summers. I hope that, you know, like, let's say if he doesn't return, which I hope he does, because I know he's in his late 60s, but hell, I mean, he could still host a damn show, I believe. But if he's not the one, what I'm hoping is that whoever is the host does not become a character, because I feel like in a lot of these game shows that these hosts try to become such a character and doing, not to say how Tyler says yuck fest or jokes, but they try too hard. And it's like, it doesn't make them feel like they're relatable. It's like Mark Summers, he could actually sit there, he's talking with the kids, the adults, and he's not trying to be somebody. He's just the host of a good show, and he's actually having a good communication back and forth, explaining the rules, and just having you focus on the show as well. But I think some of these hosts try very hard to be their own person and doing goofy mannerisms or jokes that it makes them not fun to watch. And like I said, they're not relatable. You don't enjoy them. That you tell the kids could give two shits about them. Like some of them host for like, it even seemed like, I don't know, not Legends of the Hidden Temple, but God damn it. The one we talked about where they went in all the rooms Finders Keepers. Yeah. Those hosts were getting so fucking obnoxious as of late, and they tried to do the jokes and say something, and the kids would look at them like, you could tell the kids didn't give a shit. They hated hearing the host say his jokes, do what he was saying. They want to play the games and have fun. So that's what I mean. Don't have that kind of host. Hopefully they could be somebody that could be like the Mark Summers person, where they're genuine and you actually, you know, enjoy him as a host, but not as a character.
Oh, yeah, they'll probably fuck it up.
I hope not. I hope not, because I don't know if it was you or Tyler when we were talking about Double Dare the one time. It might have been Tyler who was like, hey, Joe, did you know that they, like, did a special, like, a couple years ago or whatever the hell it was?
That was last, I think, two, three years.
Okay, yeah, and I was excited. I was like, really? And I put it on, and it wasn't that Tyler was hyping it up. He was just to let me know, oh, Joe, they did have. I was like, cool. Put it on. I watched it on YouTube. I was like, oh, my God, it was an abomination. I was like, this is horrible. What the hell was this? What did they even try with this madness?
Wait. Are you talking about Double Dare 2000 or, like, the one-night Double Dare special that Mark
said? Yeah, that Double Dare special, that thing. Oh, that was just – it was an abomination. It was terrible. It's like – it felt like they were on a stage, performing on a stage. And
I don't know if these were – stage, you know. I mean, it's a set, you know.
No, I don't mean – how can I say it? I felt like – you remember back in high school – when you sit there and you go in the auditorium and they would perform up there, it felt like that kind of stage, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
It just felt so off. And I was like, I don't know if these people were supposed to be actors on other Nickelodeon shows that they put into this, but whatever they tried, I was like, this is a mess. So I pray if they, you know, when they bring back Double Dare, it's like, don't try whatever formula you're trying with that. Just go back to Double Dare 2000, that kind of stuff. But
no, Double Dare 2000. I remember that host sucked so bad.
No. I mean the host, but what I mean is at least the show, you know, it still seemed Double Dare, but not like this thing that felt like they were on a stage in a high school. It just was, ugh. Yeah, don't ever watch that. So just to let you know, the thing I'm talking about, don't watch it. It's not worth of you at all. It's a waste of time.
I think it was funny, like, when you bring up Double Dare, it just reminded me of, that was the second episode of the show that we did, but that was also, like, my first episode joining you guys, and I remember how nervous I was for, like, the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 of these that we've done, and now it's just, like, super comfortable for me to do, and it's also kind of amazing, because with Fans of Power, you guys are up to, what, episode
129.
Yeah. So to me, it's just amazing that here we are. It's episode 30. And I'm just like, man, we've done 30 of these. It hasn't really felt that way.
No, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. But I'm also glad, like I said, to see you. Yeah, I'm glad to see, Nathan, how you're more comfortable too. Because I know at one time you're like, you know, I don't know if I'd start or how do I kind of start this or end it. So that's why
I'm still not that good at ending the show.
That's why I love seeing that. I always love seeing that ending because I'm going to do it right now. Oh, first, let me just say, everybody in the chat room, thank you for joining us. Appreciate having you here every week with us. Hope you enjoyed our insanity and our whole
chat room. Appreciate what happened, or were they just kind of just there to watch? And
oh, I mean, there was like JSP, he was commenting about some of the Arnold movies that he liked. And like, I think he said his top 4. He said The Terminator, Terminator 2, True Lies, and Predator. Those are his top 4 movies.
Those are all good ones.
Yeah, which are all good ones. But no, they were saying stuff back and forth and having comments. And
well, good.
So again,
I just hope that our true believers who tune in to watch us all the time, you know, they enjoyed it. you know, that it wasn't.
Tyler's sitting here like, oh God, I've done too much.
Yeah.
Well, they enjoyed it. So, but
I always appreciate that they're you know, they're so devoted, and anybody that listens to it afterwards, and that I hope they have fun, even though we always veer off, and it never fails. We always veer off about something, but
yeah, this was the most veered off we've ever
had. This episode was insanity this week.
And like I said, we've been on for an hour and 40 minutes, and I think we might have devoted 30 minutes, if that, to Total Recall. But, well, Nathan, why don't you go ahead, because I love watching this part. Why don't you wrap us up?
It's Joe's favorite part. He relishes this moment like I do every time Tyler goes on one of his rants.
Go ahead.
If you're checking us out on YouTube for the first time, make sure to hit that subscribe button and click the little bell so you get the notification. And make sure you go back and watch all the other episodes. We got 29 more. We got some capes and commentaries that are on there. Check out the Podbean link. If you guys are joining us on Podbean, hop over here to the YouTube channel and check it out and see our faces and watch Tyler turn red. And, you know, I always put the link to the audio there in the description of each episode, so you can kind of click on that and go through all the audio and download those and take us on the road if you'd like. BeyondRetro84@gmail.com is the email, so feel free to shoot us an email or leave a comment on the video. Let us know what you think. What are your favorite Arnold films? What's your opinion on Total Recall? Do you think that it was just a dream, or do you think it actually happened how you sort of saw it playing out throughout the film? Give us feedback. Let us know what you want to see, what you want us to talk about. If you have any suggestions for TV shows or films or animated shows that we could do a commentary for on Capes and Commentaries, just let us know.
And you mentioned the ring the bell and all that shit. Okay.
Just it's like Joe forgets, because I start talking about it and then he just forgets everything.
I try to get most of it, but I'm like, did he catch this? Because I always want to give you shit. I was like, did he say something about hit the bell? So just in case, you're always notified when we have a new episode. Or I was just trying to make sure. And I think it was JSP. I'm not sure if it was. And I think it was who shared that link to that insane store display. It was like in a toy store and they had these three gigantic Chucky dolls and they had a Tiffany doll, but they were they were actually like, you know, little people that were in there. And then people would come to the store and they're looking at the dolls and they bust through, and it was to promote, I don't know if it was Cult of Chucky, but I think it was you, JSP. That was some funny shit. I don't know if you guys seen it, but I think it was him.
Yeah, I need to go back and check that out. I know they've been doing that a lot lately with they had that. And then what was the other one?
The other one was they were in the streets. They were like by a bus stop, and they had and it was JSP. Thank you. And it seems like it's always going on in Mexico. They're the ones that are doing this cool ass promoting for stuff. Like, can you imagine
doing that here in the States? You'd have too many people traumatized and suing.
See, that's what I mean. That's what I hate. It's like, let's have some balls, you know, here in the States like we used to. Because I love that. I would have shit my pants if I would have been somewhere like around a bus stop and you would have seen a big light of a display advertising Curse of Chucky, and then suddenly started flickering, and then a little bastard busted out of there and started chasing you, looking like Chucky. I mean, people be shitting their pants, but you're right, we can't do that. But
they would just probably end up getting shot or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. But all right, well, no, it was fun, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Sounds good.